Today's podcast is brought to you by 11th Monkey Industries. They're an awesome shop located on Grand Avenue in downtown Phoenix. They pretty much produce anything you can think of. If you want a bike, they can make that. You want business cards, they can make that. You want a cool t-shirt, they can make it. If you have an idea for a t-shirt, they will help you make that idea. I encourage you to go visit them, and they help us keep the lights on here. Welcome to another edition of Local Revive. We have Tiffy and Keith.
Keith, yes.
From Baby Teeth. We also have the Local Revive team. We have Ryan. Say hi, Ryan.
Hi.
And we have Phil. Say hi, Phil.
Hi.
And today we're talking about fashion in Phoenix with our entrepreneurs here today. So let's just get right into it, I guess. So you guys want to do a little backstory about where you guys come from and what brought you to Phoenix? I know you're, Tiffy, you're from Phoenix.
Yes.
But yes. Keith, you're not, obviously.
I'm not from Phoenix. No, I'm from Dublin, Ireland. Yeah. I've been here 15 years in June. And I ended up here through meeting a girl in Dublin from here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What a strange connection that must be.
I guess, you know, it wasn't strange at the time. But, I mean, when you look back, it's like, wow, it's an unusual kind of...
Hop.
You know, it's an unusual move.
Yeah.
Which I'm thankful for. yeah.
She's like, I won.
She did all the work, right?
But a good move, though, you know.
Yeah.
A very good time I've had here and continue to have a great time in Phoenix. I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
But prior to moving to Phoenix, I was living in Dublin. And I was a musician.
Uh-huh.
I had a career with a band from Dublin called Power of Dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we spent quite a long time touring around the world and making records. And
that's awesome.
Like that. So I ended up in Phoenix after all of that played out and a career with session drumming as well, but other artists.
Right.
And all sorts of different things.
Yeah, so we YouTube you, just so you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Did
you see the 120 minutes on MTV?
No, we didn't. We were just like looking for your sound. Like, okay, let's see what you sound like. It was pretty good. Like, the
90s.
Like, yes, we're 90s babies.
Yeah,
so I was like,
of course, us. It
brought
was
me
home
back.
For us.
Yeah. Like, oh, this feels normal. We're going to get along.
Yeah. So I did that for a long time, and then ended up out here. And when I ended up out here, I was kind of straight back into music. Really,
yeah.
I met people within a couple of days of being here through mutual friends back in Ireland, and started playing music straight away, and got rooted here, and here I am, 15 years later, with a lot in between that period, of course. You know,
yeah.
But it's not all about me and what I've been doing for 15 years.
Yeah.
But to give you some backstory, so. Yeah, I played music, still play a lot of music, and then, about 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago, we met for the first time at a dinner downtown. Mutual friend of ours was hosting Andy Rourke from the Smiths as a DJ in town, so we all met for dinner.
I was the opening DJ.
You're a DJ as well?
I used to DJ.
You used to DJ?
So I was his, Andy Rourke's opening DJ.
Uh-huh.
Huge Smiths fan.
Yeah, that's cool.
So our friend William Reed had a club night, brought him out. So that's kind of where we first saw each other.
Really?
We didn't meet for a couple weeks later.
Sure.
And we started dating. Yeah. And
but that was the magic moment, though.
But, you know, one thing is interesting is I've been following you for a while on Facebook and everything like that is music. It's funny that you guys met through music because everything you guys do seems to have music influence in it. You know what I mean? I think that's interesting. You continue that throughout your... Do you guys feel like you continue that throughout your identity?
Well, when we first met,
mm-hmm.
our first collaboration together was music.
Uh-huh.
We had a band called Being Cool is Lonely.
Oh. Being Cool is Lonely? That's a good name.
I'm Googling that after
this. It was a lot of fun. Our tracks were played in Europe already.
Really?
Oh, wow.
What was it? What was the style?
Like 80s revival.
Oh, cool.
I love it already.
Bill is a singer, by the way.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, so music inspires pretty much everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is a big, big part of both of our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obviously it's a no-brainer that it's going to affect anything that we really get involved in other than doing tax. Although we do have it on.
So you say you came here to Phoenix 15 years ago. Phoenix proper, like downtown Phoenix?
No, I didn't. I moved directly to Tempe.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
and I would come downtown when
known as Gangster.
You want to feel some danger?
Yeah.
when hockey was played, some years ago at the America West Arena, mm-hmm. at the time, I think it was, Coyotes, I used to go see them.
Right.
In the early 2000s, like 2000 and 2001.
Right.
And that was really the only reason to come down was for that or for an event, you know.
Uh-huh.
To be honest with you, I was very confused by Phoenix because it was so desolate, other than what seemed to be going on at the ballpark.
Right.
But also, I never really ventured too deeply into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's also that.
But why would you...
You know, when I did move down here, then I realized how vast it really was, and there was so much going on, but that the deadness of the epicenter was kind of deceiving. You know?
Right.
But in saying that, obviously, it changed a great deal with time and the light mm-hmm. rail and different things and people's safety, I think, lots of different things.
Uh-huh.
ASU, huge presence.
Exactly,
just more investment and stuff.
Yeah, because I was going to say, even in the short time I've been here, because I've only been here about 8 years now, and I mean, it
especially from you from New York, you know, like you
it's
go...
It's night and day different.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because I almost feel like that arc came with technology too.
Yeah.
As people were able to use the internet and explore things, I feel like people kind of discovered Phoenix almost a little bit more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they realized there was some value there because now you see there's so many people that live here that aren't from here.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that natural growth where just people were just having more babies. It's just.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I guess, you know, speaking of Phoenix, none of us are Phoenix natives, you know. When you think of fashion, you don't typically think of Phoenix. You think of LA, you think of New York and stuff like that. So what do you, for people who are living it and doing it, what do you think fashion means to Phoenix?
My whole life I was interested in fashion.
Mm-hmm.
15, I started making my own clothes when I was going to raves.
Oh,
selling
nice.
Them at raves, set up a GeoCities back in the 90s. And started selling my rave clothing all over the country. So that was kind of my first...
What was it called? Please tell me something super like Happy Rainbow.
Okay. Or embarrassing. No, I'm not going to tell you.
Even better.
I know I searched for, after our conversation, I told you about our GeoCities.
Yeah.
I actually went on Google to see if it was still...
You went and buried it?
It's your site in the Space Jam.
About that. Yeah. Around that time. But so that was my first... Let me just turn this... My first... glimpse of what fashion could be online,
right?
And that you can do it anywhere,
right?
Mm-hmm. You can reach customers. This was 99, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped to concentrate on high school.
Whack.
And then I continued creating clothing and selling, doing fashion shows when I was 18.
Oh wow!
Got into boutiques around that time too. And then 21, when I was 21, went to LA,
mm-hmm.
Studied at FITM, Fashion mm-hmm. Institute, and had kind of a glimpse of the fashion industry out there, manufacturing, you know, huge difference from what Phoenix was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward now, you have fashion programs in almost every college including high schools,
right.
also have fashion courses.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that came about probably the last 5 years.
Right.
We have Phoenix Fashion Week, of course.
Yeah.
They're doing emerging designer mm-hmm. programs. So I think although it's still not a fashion hub,
right.
there's huge potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have so many fashion students and people that want to... have that as their career
mm-hmm.
living here and creating their own opportunities like we did.
Right.
It is lacking still manufacturing.
Yeah.
That's all in LA and New York, of course.
Yeah.
But the potential
is
there.
I think the potential is, if there's any place, when we moved here in 2013, the one from California, you know, people usually do the opposite. They're usually coming from Phoenix, make it, and they're like, all right, I'm getting out of here now.
Yeah.
We were in Huntington Beach making a video company. I say this almost every podcast, but I came out here and it felt like everybody was just like, what do you need help with? You know what I mean? I'm a total nobody. You know what I mean?
The culture. It's not a competitive culture. It's a nurturing culture.
Yeah. It's so crazy to think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we came in here and it was just like, what do you need help with? You know, Ruben. I've known Ruben since 2013. And I'm wearing a shirt that he made us to sponsor the show with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's, if there's a potential for a place to have something being built like that, I think it's here. You know, I think it gets overlooked.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What I was saying is, that's a really good point in that podcast when we spoke to him too, because that's what the question I asked him. I was like, well, how do you define Phoenix culture? Is there, like, because, you know, like, New York has, when, you know, when you're in New York, you look around you, everybody looks that way. You're in LA.
Yeah.
Has thing, but you know, and I love this answer where he's like, I don't think Phoenix has one, but it's good. It's like we have a little bit of everything here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to be kind of locked down trying to be so something, much like. Yeah. Like already that is, you know, like established fashion brand there.
Yeah.
You could take risks here and get away with
and
it.
Fail here, and fail here and get away with it, you know?
And afford to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's huge. And at the same time, everybody wants everybody else to make it because everybody wants Phoenix to rise together. They want, there you go. How do you like that?
He did it on purpose. He wrote that down later. He's reading it off his hand. He's Phoenix just sweating.
Phoenix rising.
Pulls his headphones off. Thank you guys. I'm out of here now.
Drop the mic.
I got to figure out how to get ashes into it. We'll see.
You can use that in a song if you want, Keith.
but they do want it. They want to elevate Phoenix. We'll use some synonyms to a level where they're respected and in their whatever industry it is. So you know, fashion, music, everything else.
Yeah.
They just want everybody else to succeed because it gives them a bigger platform.
Yeah,
and I think everybody understands that and is willing to work together.
Except that we just need to get the. We're getting a little off topic, but I'm just going to say this one thing. We'll go back. Is that I just feel like we just need to get the rest of the Phoenix around it to understand. You can, there's this going on. I think that's why we do this podcast, to be honest with you, is that there's all these huge suburbs. Every time I see a new suburb get built out there, I'm just like, why don't you just not build that and just build it right next to downtown? You know what I mean? Like, the downtown is cool. I hang out here. How come I can see this but nobody else can? I just wish that more people would see what's actually going on.
Yeah.
Downtown.
Mm-hmm. And even in Tempe happening a little bit, you know. Let's get back to you guys. So what you guys are doing children's clothing. So how did you guys get into that?
Our daughter was born in 2013. So I'd been doing women's runway for, you know, ever since I was 15, 16. Uh-huh. And I saw a huge need for clothing for kids that was cool. And something that we actually were like, hey, this is nice.
Yeah.
It's well made and, you know, China, it's not from China. It's from, you know, a sweatshop. And so, and I really just wanted to put my ideas from runway and translate it or, you know, the themes into children's wear and kind of just see what happened.
Right.
And it was really good response. And I quit my day job. I was a visual merchandiser for H&M for 4 years previous to that.
Yeah.
I was traveling and doing store openings and stuff.
So. You want to talk about that a little bit? What that was like, that decision? That must have been tough. That's one thing we like to hit on on this podcast is let people know that jump. Because I think a lot of people skip over it in the when you talk about like the success, like, oh, I quit my job and I did it.
Right.
But I think I've done it and I went back to get a regular job, but it is probably one of the most nerve-wracking things to do.
It was, especially...
Yeah, what was that like?
Having a kid, you know what I mean?
I was on maternity leave, so I took that opportunity to kind of jumpstart what I wanted to have. Like, I wanted to kind of figure out having to take care of our daughter and then also working on, you know, design and, you know,
creating a whole line.
What's that like to create? That's one of the things I really love to talk about is I don't have kids. Ryan has kids. He has two. He's my nieces and nephew. That's why I'm sick right now. He doesn't believe me, but it's 100% why I'm sick right now.
Being around the kids.
Yeah, because his kids are, Emmy's what, two? Almost two?
Almost two.
And Luca is four, and I love them. Like, whenever I go see them, I just love being around them, but I immediately know I'm going to get sick.
and that's part of being a parent. Being sick all the time and learning how to deal with it.
Yeah. But what I think is important, you know, Ryan and I do this together, is, you know, being me, I'm single, I don't have any kids, it's easy for me to be like, okay, this 4 hours after I get off work, I'm going to go do, you know, Photoshop or talk to Ryan or create a meeting. What's it like to have that kid crying in the background trying to create, you know what I mean?
It's beautiful.
It's the dream.
It's the dream. That's what we were after. You know?
I think it's pretty much just like your life,
except right.
instead of your 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And more crying.
More. I don't know. You don't know me. I cry a lot. Ryan knows. He's always.
This is true. He's my third child. The oldest. I'm not setting a very good example, to be honest. That's awkward.
But it's pretty much like, okay, we have to allocate this block of time mm-hmm. to work, and I'll have to. We work from our home.
Yeah.
And one bedroom is our studio.
Yeah.
It's big enough to house our production stuff, mm-hmm. office, and then also his music studio. So, mm-hmm. you know, really just being partners.
Yeah.
And also, after I quit my job, later he was able to quit his job
because
we worked our asses off to
get
to that point.
No, awesome. Good for you guys. Did you guys have that, like, hey, we're fucking doing this? Like, this is our goal?
Yeah.
Like, this
that's was that the goal before? I mean, was it always in the back of your mind, like, I'm going to have my own fashion line? I'm going to do this at some point?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think I envisioned it exactly like this. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to do runway.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Grown up clothes,
yeah. That market is just so hard when you don't have
It's a saturated,
capital, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But this was, like I said, I started making clothes for her, and then it became a business because of the...
Organically, though, didn't it? Well, it wasn't a plan.
Right.
We kind of sat down and conceived the idea.
Yeah.
You know,
we didn't take a loan out. We didn't do any of that.
Good. Yeah.
Snowball. Awesome. You know, got from sales profit, we put back into the business.
Well, okay.
You know, that kind of thing.
Let me ask this though too, because I know, like you said, you have your experience working with the runway. What's the inspiration process look like working for children versus with adults? Is that, I mean, do you go to a different place with that? I mean, is it all kind of in the same area?
It's pretty much the same for me.
Mm-hmm.
It can be from a song or a mood or a color pattern, theme, anything like that. And I'll start creating kind of like a story in my head
of
who this person is. And for baby teeth, it's the same thing, except I just make it a little bit more fun, playful, and comfortable. Change the textiles and maybe the colors, and make sure that it's durable and playful.
So how do you guys work as a team then, you know?
With regards to...
The business. Yeah. Because it's not just you, it's both of you, correct?
Sure.
Yeah. Right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Production is me still, and we're working on getting our stuff manufactured in LA, which is going to happen very soon, so I can get away from the sewing machine. But it's from start to finish the design process. Uh-huh. When we first come up with the concept, we talk about it. It might be in my head. He has ideas as well. So we kind of collaborate on that. And then from there, I'll sketch, do the patterns. Then we'll talk about the fabric
choices.
Designs and choices, because we do print our own. We get our digitally printed.
Okay.
So all of our prints are exclusive to our brand.
Oh, wow.
They're not purchased.
Right.
And then from there... I'll make the samples. Then again, so basically any sewing,
any hands-on
production kind of stuff, I do, except for he'll do some finishing things like snaps or ironing,
cutting fabric as well.
Yeah,
yeah. So we try to split as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a lot to be done. So there's a lot we can, you know, we can
multitask.
There's also, you know, the very detailed stuff that's
and the sewing.
The fashion details.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to learn how to sew overnight. Anything I can show him.
You know, it's all very new to me in terms of well, not very new, because we've been together for a while.
Yeah.
So I've got a look at, you know, fashion and the industry and whatnot. You know what I mean? In terms of the workings of things and that. But, you know, my role is to be as supportive, really, in any way that I can. I mean, I've been learning as I go. You know what I mean? It was never any kind of dream of mine to be, you know, working or building, creating fashion for babies.
Right.
You know
what I mean? It's,
it wasn't on my list, but
it is now.
But it is.
Yeah.
And it's a fun experience, you know, too, because you learn a lot about everything.
Right.
Doing any number of things in life, so this is no different, you know. And I think it's quite rewarding to be able to make clothes for a little girl, and she enjoys them, and I think she looks good in them, and it allows us to spend time with her, more time and stuff. So it's been very generous to us in a lot of ways.
That's know? Awesome.
Yeah, and also, I mean, the design process is 10% of our business.
Yeah.
Like, it's
so minutial. Yeah. Right.
You know,
it's like anything.
Designing is 10%, but, you know, 90% is the marketing, the PR, the Instagram, and the social media.
The hustle.
The hustle, yeah. the hustle. But you know what? That you guys probably learned that from music. We learned that from videoing. You know, we make a video. We make a badass video. You put it out there. If you don't have any of that aligned with it, it's like a tree fell in the forest. Anybody hear it? You know what I mean? No one heard it. Sure. So you probably learned that just from the music. Like, of you got to know that you got to push this along as well, you know?
So, of course.
So, no, part of the branding, I mean, so Baby Teeth, it's not spelled Baby Teeth. I looked for it forever. And so maybe you should spell it for everybody that's actually listening right now.
Yes.
And so they can.
Yeah, it's basically, well, when our daughter was in my belly, when we didn't know it was a girl or a boy, we called her Teeth. Tiffy and Keith.
Teeth. That's cute.
Oh, I just got that now.
So it's spelled like Keith with a T.
Yeah.
T-E-I-T-H.
Mm-hmm. So then you guys started creating. When did you feel success? When did you feel like, okay, I can start looking actually to quit my job?
When we were able to pay our bills.
Right. But what was that like? Were you thinking this was going to be a success, or you're like, okay, we'll make this and this is something fun, and then people start buying it? Or
I definitely set out to be marketable and to make this a business and to make it our full-time gig. So with that in mind, I had the marketability in mind when designing as well, and coming up with a plan for you know, distribution and all that stuff. So it was our goal.
Right. Was it a slow build, or you're like chugging along and all of a sudden?
It was definitely when he quit his job.
Right.
Is when we just took off.
Oh, really?
Because we were able to focus a lot more time and energy into the marketing.
Yeah.
And to reaching more customers.
Right.
Customer service, the whole customer experience.
It just
great.
We have more attention on the business.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, where people always say, you know, grass is always greener.
Right.
You know, but the grass is always greener where you water it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You
very
start
true.
Watering it more, and like anything, if you put love and you know, hard work into something that people believe in, it's easy.
Easier, yeah. It's always
easy,
hard. It's just
easier.
To
kind of see realistic goals ahead.
Right.
You know?
And we had to make it strategic.
Yeah.
It's a big risk when you have kids, of course.
Yeah.
And you're taking that risk.
Yeah.
It's strategic risk.
Yeah.
You know, it's not haphazard. It's not, you know, the potential of getting into a bad situation.
Right.
That can't be a possibility.
Yeah.
So it was definitely, we made sure that finances were in order.
Right.
We had, you know.
The planning was right.
The planning.
Yeah. The planning's the hard part, believe me. Yeah.
So what's, I mean, obviously you guys have had it going for a while though, and you're from here too, but you went to school in LA. So what's keeping you guys in Phoenix? Have you guys ever thought about taking your company and taking it somewhere else to one of the different markets or any of that stuff? Or what are you?
Well, the thing, we can, because it's pretty, like, we can be on an island and do this as long as we have the resources.
Don't have to be any specific place for it to go down. You know?
Right.
So it might be a possibility in the future, but really Phoenix is our home right now.
Yeah.
And we love it. Everything we need is here.
Yeah.
Fabric that we get digitally printed gets shipped here.
Yeah.
Ruben.
Yeah. 11th Monkey.
11th Monkey does our screen printing, and he's literally a block away from us.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And he's so amazing.
So yeah.
And
his shop's amazing. I love going down there.
Cool
stories.
Yeah, isn't it?
Really cool stuff he's working on.
Yeah.
He's like,
I love going down there.
He's been a huge asset to us. So it's kind of like everything we need is here. So why move? And our family and our daughter is pretty... Sure.
Home-based here,
And it's awesome, too, when you're part of that community, too, because, I mean, I'm sure you can't help but be inspired, too, when you see Ruben work on things, too, though, and I'm sure it's vice versa with him, too, that when you're around smart, artistic people, like, wow, he just, that's awesome.
Yeah,
amazing ideas.
Made that shit.
The great thing about downtown Phoenix is that there is a high concentration of creative people and people that, you know, are friends and
then Yai. You work with the eye, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a bunch of creative types. You know, yeah. But one of which is, you know, Yai.
Mm-hmm. Who's this?
Yai Sikrim.
Yai Sikrim.
She does, you see her murals all over downtown. It's really fun, like funny little characters. Mm-hmm. And last summer we collaborated with her. She designed fabric for us. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge hit. And now she just designed a new t-shirt for us. Mm-hmm. So we like working with other artists that are local as well. And we, you know, our customers are all over the world. So we kind of see that as also an opportunity to get their artwork out to the rest of the world.
That's
in a
awesome.
Different way, a different media.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. And, you know,
that's all that community. That's bringing it. That's, exactly that's what we're talking about. Yeah.
It's so very important.
Yeah.
So you guys have set your platform. You guys are you know, doing well. What are the next steps? Like, how are you guys getting to the next level? I know you guys got a Kickstarter coming up, right?
Yes. We have a Kickstarter that's going to help us with the funding of manufacturing in Los Angeles. So we have a production house ready for us to go and to get me away from the sewing machine and focus on growing our business and getting
other
it to
aspects,
other aspects of it so I can focus on designing and just really everything else. So that's our next big step. And then also we're going to Magic in August.
Explain Magic. A lot of people are going to know what Magic is. I don't think you guys know what Magic is.
I love Magic.
Oh, yeah?
Tricks.
That's cards.
Penn & Teller.
Is
that what we're talking about?
Tiffy, do a trick right now.
It is in Vegas.
It is in Vegas, though, yeah.
Vegas, yeah. It's the Magic Trade Show. It's the world's largest
fashion
trade show that links buyers to designers. Mm-hmm. But I think it's been going on for like 85 years now.
It's huge.
Started as just menswear. Uh-huh. That's what Magic stands for. It started as menswear and then it just expanded to bigger and bigger and bigger. And now they have a kids division called Playground. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. And they invited us to show and we're going to do it.
That's
exciting.
That's awesome. When is that?
It's in August.
That's awesome.
So the Kickstarter.
Yes.
If we can go back to that, what are people going to get out of it? I mean, are you going to get your clothing? What are the incentives there?
Yeah, now's your time to shine.
Yeah. So they are going to receive our fall pieces from our fall collection for kids, and then they're also going to have adult versions of some of our shirts and stuff. So, you know, if our supporters don't have kids, but they want to, you know, be a part of.
Like someone like me, you're like, I want to give, but I don't have kids, you know.
Yeah. We'll have rewards for adults, too.
We have some cool band type shirts.
Cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I love how you guys still just, even though you're not doing music as much, but like still, that's still part of your life. I love that. I love that. Because it still probably makes it fun and interesting to you guys.
Always, I think, Especially with clothing.
Yeah.
On any level, children or adult, I mean, music is... Fashion and music have always
gone hand in hand.
It's always been kind of natural marriage right there.
Yeah.
I mean, rock star is a look.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's people, you know.
Playing in a band, it's like, if you don't look cool, I mean, that's the first thing I look at a band that was like, black t-shirts and black jeans, you just, was it Tuesday?
Couldn't get dressed up.
You don't look in the part. It makes you feel probably good when you're on stage doing that kind of stuff. But getting back to the Kickstarter, so when are you guys launching and all that? Give us the details of it. That way, if people are listening to this, they can jump on board and start talking to you guys.
Sure. Yeah. May 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And they can find it on our. We'll be talking about it on our Instagram, all of our social media, our website. We'll have the countdown.
And we'll throw the link on ours. As well.
Yeah.
We're gonna promote it.
Are you guys freaking out?
It's been a lot of prep work.
Yes.
A lot, and we want to make sure that we're doing it right.
Yeah.
You know, and do it right the first time.
Right, exactly.
And not blow it. Yeah. You know, so I don't say we're freaking out, but there's been a lot of preparation.
Yeah. So you're more excited than anything else.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Ready for the payoff.
Yeah.
It is. It's a lot of work, a lot of labor. People don't realize. You're just throwing it up there and saying, hey, I need money.
Which
I need money
because.
Which
people do. There are people now with the FundMe campaigns.
Yeah.
I'm seeing people on social media.
Yes.
Creating a lot of personal, which is certainly fine. I
mean,
nobody has a right to tell people what they can and can't,
Right.
But with regards to what we're doing with this, we're excited.
You know? Yeah.
And we're excited because it's something that we really believe in and something that we've worked really hard on over the past 2 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we've definitely made some great, great gifts for people if they pledge and stuff like that. So there's some really good stuff on it, you know. So, but it's nervous. Of course, nervous. I mean, you know, like anything, you know. But I think we've put good work in. So, like you said, it's the payoff, you know, if that comes, that will be fun.
I just really admire the fact you guys are doing it together. Like, I don't know that many couples, you know, usually there's like, that's your thing and that's my thing. And, you know, so I think it's admirable that you guys are pushing this as a couple. It probably just makes your little family unit stronger, you know what I mean? Because you're creating something for your kid, you know what I mean?
I definitely couldn't have done it without Keith.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Like, after he quit his job and we were a force, you know? You know, we wouldn't have gotten this far.
Yeah, I think that's almost like an extra nugget to your story. It's not just like I had this idea and I'm forcing this person to do this with me. Like, no, we're having this as a unit. We're doing this together. It's really pretty. Pretty beautiful, I think. Sorry.
Pretty.
It's a
very pretty situation. Yeah, there you go. Thanks for saving me.
No, I mean, as a parent of like two cool kids, thank you for doing this because there's not enough diversity in kids' clothes. I can't tell you how sick I am of going to Gap Kids and getting the same shit over and over again. It's like, you know, my kid looks like every other kid.
We also brought samples. I forgot to tell you guys. I don't know if you were
You brought samples? Go ahead. Camera is right there.
So, you know, while we're talking about it, because I figured, you know, you guys, I don't know if you saw it before or whatever, but we definitely wanted to, you know, as we talk about it, kind of show you.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, go through it. Go through what you think of. Yeah, go explain it. 100%.
So this is part of our summer collection. Uh-huh. So our whole summer theme was
Can they see it over there?
Space.
Yeah, we're good.
Space.
There,
Space grunge.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome.
So
like David Bowie stuff?
David Bowie, but also like 90s.
Right, themes, right.
The kind of club kid raver
look.
Yeah, I love it.
Right.
But, you know, definitely fun and everything and comfortable. So these are some hologram Lycra leggings.
That's awesome. So when you do you like throw it on your kid and you're like, what do you then let her run around it?
Yes.
Yeah.
She tests everything.
Yeah.
Hardcore techno music and see what happens.
Yeah. See if she dances on. If she dances, it's good. If she dances, it's good. No dance, bad.
She's already got the pacifier.
Can you take them off the hangers for me, please? And then I'll.
I love it.
Okay, so then this is our organic cotton. This is our digital print.
I like that. All of our it reminds me of that movie Party Monster a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So this is I designed this print, and a smiley face that's dripped and glitchy.
Yeah. As you can see, that's really cool. I like that.
That's cool. I like it's got a little edge for a little baby. That's cool.
Because, I mean, I'm all about cutesy stuff.
You could probably fit in that.
I think so, right, guys?
I've seen you wear smaller shirts.
The leggings that go with it, that's
leggings,
cool. Yeah.
The same print.
Yeah.
Spandex polyester, and then some like crushed velvet.
Oh, cool. Yes. That's super 90s right there.
That's so funny. You guys are like, some more crushed.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
It's like comfortable and. Yeah, our headbands and our skirts.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Oh, yeah,
I thought that was a cape. I guess you make a cape.
And that stuff is right there is just like really for summer. This summer, coming summer. Yeah. Summer. We're almost in. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just
Available now. But we actually do have a cape in our fall collection that is part of the reward.
Oh, cool.
I don't think there's enough capes.
Yeah.
Underused out there. That's awesome.
It's a hologram.
That
is
cool. Yeah.
Look at that. I love that.
You know what the best is? Like, kids will love that more than adults. Like, the fact that it's shiny, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's awesome.
We get so many adults saying, oh, make it in my size. Wow.
But that's when you're on your own right path, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when the adults can't get it, it's only for the kids that they have to have it because it's the closest they'll get to it.
That's awesome.
But,
that's
beautiful. Yeah, our fall collection is inspired by time travel, and it's medieval.
Oh, cool. So
like, that's going to be fun, too, for the kids.
Yeah. What's the point? If you're a kid, you want to have fun. That's the whole point of being a kid, is like to have fun as a kid. You know what I mean?
A character, too.
Anytime you
love being characters and try to be, you know, so it's a kind of have a bit of that, for sure, is always good, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, because there's like a very short period of time where you can dress like anybody without looking like a weirdo, because I try. It doesn't work out for me.
No, we call you on it every time.
Yeah, every time. That's why I say I cry a lot. So embrace it, you know, and of course that's fun. Like, be a character. That's the best part about being a kid, you know what I mean? So I'm glad you guys are understanding that instead of just what you see a lot of times is in kids' clothes. When I go buy for my nieces and nephews, I'm always like, well, this is just the standard, you know, onesie or the standard so-and-so, or The other stuff is way out of people's price ranges. Like the more expensive like stuff. Like sure. I'm not gonna go buy that for my.
Yeah, especially when they're growing too. You know, yeah, they don't wear it for maybe a month or
and
so.
And it still and looks like everything else.
It still looks everything.
It still looks
a lot of factors that can play into white people spend what they do versus what they could.
In the back, get on, jump on, Ryan. You ready?
All right, we're good.
Okay. It was inevitable. Was our fourth podcast. We will eventually have technical difficulties, and unfortunately, we did have a technical difficulties. Ryan's laptop broke.
We can call it that.
By broke, it means the power.
Yeah, by broke means I screwed it up and didn't plug it in.
So we were going to go ahead, and I'm not exactly sure where it ended at, but we'll edit this in. Wrap it up. And the reason why I want to do this is because your Kickstarter is super important to us. And so if you would like to just do a little more, go into depth a little bit more about that, and then we can wrap it up on that. Just anything you want to say, like what your Twitter handle is and all that kind of stuff and what your Kickstarter is, we'll end on that. Right.
Do some plugs.
So like I said, our Kickstarter is going to be funding our manufacturing of our next collection in Los Angeles and just getting us to the next level in our business and also taking us to magic, so we can get all those.
Awesome.
Getting inventory stocked for the fall collection.
Okay. Drive is going to come from it.
Quicker, turnaround for orders and better customer experience. So it bleeds off into a lot. So it really is doing a lot for us in a lot of different areas. But those are the main kind of magic being one.
And,
And our rewards are going to be part of pieces from the collection, as well as adult pieces and other things that they can get. And it's launching the first week of May, and you can find us on Facebook, and our website is babyteeth.com.
Spell it out so they know.
Baby, B-A-B-Y-T-E-I-T-H. Not spelled like teeth.
Yeah. You'll find some random stuff. Believe me, we try to look them up. Don't look up baby teeth regularly. You will find some weird stuff to be like, this is terrible
That's
clothing.
Not them. Yeah.
So. Whoever does that baby teeth right now, please stop that. It doesn't look good. It doesn't. He almost killed me. It's a little funny thing. I'm sort of the one coming up with guests, and he's like, before we came here, he was just like, Diego, what is this? And I'm like, that's not it.
No. I'm like, first of all, they have a Facebook page that hasn't been updated since 2013, and their stuff is terrible.
So you guys,
sorry, I don't mean to judge creativity.
But I don't think they care.
I don't think they were creative.
I don't think they care. Whoever that is, I don't think they care. So you guys are different.
Yeah,
And definitely. Go ahead and where to find you on Instagram and all that kind of stuff. So they know.
Just baby teeth on Instagram as well. Yeah. We're on that and everything else every single
Google
day. You can find us.
Stuff online.
Google. Let's spell it one more time so when they go to Google it.
Baby teeth. And that's BABYTEITH.
.com. Yeah. Google that and you'll find them. That's the first thing. Once you figure that out, it'll be the first
and
thing
same
that pops
thing
up.
On Kickstarter too, when they're looking on Kickstarter, it'll be under the same name as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Yeah, if you want to be a cool parent, you get cool stuff. Shit for your kids.
Yes.
Go there.
Check it out.
Kickstarter. You get it.
Yes.
Done.
And we appreciate all of our supporters so much. Like, we couldn't even get to the next level without them. So it's super important to us. And
it's not challenging
so
to promote this. This is really cool, innovative, fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, keep taking risks.
And on that, we're the Local Revive team. Obviously, we'll keep plugging us, of course. Ryan, Philip, they're all on the same team. Keith, we'll probably bring you back. We hear you. I kind of want to get into your rock star lifestyle a little bit. I think you probably have a lot of fun stories to get into. So I think listeners could probably look forward to hearing an Irish dude in Phoenix talk about cool shit. So I probably
just like every other podcast.
Yeah, just like everybody. probably have you come on, but this time we'll probably be drinking.
I was always going to mention that.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. All right, good.